are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. That smashes him to the ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
He smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt
on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Then steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle. As they fire up.
G'day, Chris. By the look of it, you look like you've been on the some sort of flight of Dreamliner, maybe to Philadelphia to see Billy Knowles with that neck. You've got a great big scar. You've had something replaced, I gather.
Yeah, so I've been putting the story out there that it was a skin cancer that was removed, Stephen, but in fact,
otherwise,
I tore my neck tendon, watching how quickly Hamisai Tibio Fido raced to the try line against the West Tigers at Suncorp Stadium on Magic Round on Sunday evening, and I did my neck tendon, so they've had to remove it.
Right. Not in the esky.
Yeah, it's well, it is
not express delivery.
It's dry ice packed. It's now in the cargo hold of a United Airlines Dreamliner.
Okay.
Winging its way to Philadelphia, and hopefully I'll get movement restored back in the neck, Stephen, because right now I can't turn more than 33 degrees.
Right, okay, fantastic. Who's our guest today, Chris? Special guest.
Two words, Stephen. Yeah. Redfern Pat.
Redfern Pat. How's it going in Redfern, Pat?
What a privilege it is. We've got the 9th place Dragons, the 5th place Tigers to be in 15th place Tigers.
15th place, yes.
Might as well be 5th from where I'm at.
What are we, cellar dwellers here, are we?
Well, you're from 17th, 15th looks pretty attractive.
Good.
Yeah. And South are a long way off 15th too.
Pat, we are here with the news that Wayne Bennett has signed for your beleaguered South Sydney Rabbitohs for 3 years, unfinished business. Even Wayne said, history tells us, when South are doing good, rugby league's doing good. Has the game ever been flying higher with you at the bottom of the ladder?
Yeah, it's
An odd conundrum, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd hate to see your demise and everyone being happy, like seeing people happy at your funeral, I guess. But yeah, no one seems that fussed at South Sir.
Right.
A lot of grave dancing going on right now.
Glory, glory. At the funeral. So, but that's a ray of hope. That's light at the end of the tunnel, isn't it?
Yeah. They can turn around.
Yeah.
Well, they got the Eels this week.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about roadkill in rugby league, I think, pretty soon. But Pat, welcome aboard.
Yeah, I think we'll touch on it later. We've got to keep our sniffles. There's a lot of scrutiny on that at the moment. And a bit cold.
Why can't people have a cold in the modern world and not be accused of something nefarious? Yes. Why, I say? Why?
And now it's farting at press conferences, Donald Trump style, right? Now, Chris, look, for all the glory, the rainbow, the unicorn chasing that happened in Brisbane, we'll get to that soon. Much bigger stuff is happening in rugby league. We know that. And Albanese, our esteemed Prime Minister, is leading from the front. He can see a big picture, and it's strategic operations courtesy of, I'm assuming, the military are backing this big time, but we're using Papua New Guinea as one of the, I guess, bulwark, forefront sort of facing China's potential movement down south.
He's a can-do Prime Minister, Steve, and he's like, I don't know, your Roosevelts and your Eisenhowers in the American context. And I want to take you conceptually to get this discussion going, both you and Pat. Have either of you seen the Guillermo del Toro vehicle Pacific Rim?
I have not.
Pat, have you seen that movie?
Never even heard of it.
Let me just pricey. Kaiju are the Japanese monsters. They've been released from the bottom of the sea and they're attacking the broader Pacific region, right? So they have a two-pronged defense. One is that these big mechazoid-type things, the humans climb in, they're like Transformers, and they fight the monsters. But they also build a defense wall around the Pacific Rim, mm-hmm. hence the name of the movie, mm-hmm. to push back the invaders. We find ourselves in the modern geopolitical context in exactly the same situation vis-a-vis the Chinese Communist Party.
Let's break it down. Right, yep. Now we've got Taiwan. I've just had a new elected leader who's claiming that they will not be overtaken. They will be a democratic institution. China, just back off and take leave of your jets, etc., from our fly space.
Biggest chip manufacturer in the world. Turns out silicon. I thought potato, but no.
No. And the Chinese want it.
They want it.
Yeah.
They're hungry.
And, of course, we had the flaring going on, but a couple of pilots were potentially damaged the other day.
Is that right?
That's right, yeah, in the South China Sea. And then, of course, we've got the Solomons, which we've lost.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
The CCP's won that particular battle.
Righto. New Caledonia, still in play. The French are on our side, I believe, still, even though Macron was displeased at Scott Morrison years ago. But still in play.
Morrison, by the way, recently went on Channel 7 Spotlight, what a terrific show that is, and said, we all know that Macron was the one who was lying. Nouméa.
Did he have proof? No proof.
When you have faith, Stephen, you don't need physical proof.
Indonesia was in play until a certain Haas member of the family is now on his way for potential execution. Is that right?
If you're building a Pacific Rim to defend against the Chinese Communist Party,
you need Indonesia.
From Taiwan, if you're heading towards Australia, you need Indonesia.
You do.
And now we're in this intestine three-way battle with the Philippines, ourselves, and Indonesia, because Gregor Haas, father of Payne Haas, caught with over 5 kilograms allegedly of methamphetamine, which he's arguing is for personal use.
Personal use, Chris. He was laughing up the other day.
The picture of him in The Astonisher today with his captor, he seems very light of heart.
I wonder how long you keep that smile going for, Chris.
Yeah, it depends.
Now, with 5 kilos.
So this strategic operation, how much money or what sort of might is Albanese put behind it to make rugby league the carrier of this dream of peace in the Pacific?
Okay, so as we can see, he wants to get to Taiwan, right? But you've got to go step by step.
Yeah.
So a lot of the discussion has been about the most important strategic domino in this particular arrangement that has to be put in place and prevent it from falling. And that, of course, is Leichhardt Oval.
I thought you were going to say Kokoda Trail.
No. No, it all begins at Leichhardt Oval, and he's announced $20 million in the kick to refurb Leichhardt
Oval. So he found a spare 20.
That's right.
Right. And Chris Minns has now potentially come on board?
Potentially for 10.
Because I think the idea was that you've got to have all stakeholders, correct?
Yes.
You've got to have the local council, the state government, and the federal government to make this dream happen.
Yeah, so if you do the maths, Pat, 20 from the federal government, 10 from the state government, 10 from the Inner West Council.
That's 40, yeah.
Right, it's been announced as a $50 million refurb.
Right, so we're 10 mil short, right? What about your bloke, the developer?
Harry?
Yeah, what about Harry? Can't you put in 10?
Was there talk of a GoFundMe?
And so how does this fit into the fight against China, Chris?
Well, it's a well-known fact that Haberfield Bay is an access and egress point for Australia's nuclear submarines, Steve.
AUKUS?
Yeah, the ones that were being built.
Right.
So they've got to be housed somewhere.
Yes.
They're actually housed in a massive James Bond-style chamber, Chris, underneath Leichhardt Oval.
Every third or second James Bond film has an island somehow with a volcano and an underwater way for your submarines to come in.
Absolutely right.
Right.
Haberfield Bay, Leichhardt Oval.
La Montage?
La Montage. Presumably...
Is that a front, is it?
Pat, did you ever come to a grand final lunch with West Tigers as my guest, or has that been an admission on my part?
No, I haven't got to one. Well, I mean, memories aren't clear on every one of our outings.
Right, so because people would go, the West Tigers grand final lunch, it's not much fun because there's so much noise going on, and they would accuse people of too much chatter and being drunk. It was actually the mechanical whirring.
Maybe it was there.
The submarine bays going in and out. And that becomes your first, you know, stake in the ground about building this Pacific rim of defence.
I see what you're saying.
Where was the Japanese subs in World War II?
They came into the harbour.
Sydney Harbour.
So did they go as far as Harbourfield?
Probably.
Do we need to shore that up? Is that a weak spot?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, I think it's the one and only time Pinchgut, which is Fort Denison, was brought into action. My father actually felt the tremor from the release of the torpedoes. Hmm.
Is that right?
He remembers that.
Because you could have got land for cheap in the eastern suburbs then, couldn't you?
Yeah. That's right.
If you were out.
Right. So there is rugby league, right, front and centre.
Yeah, yeah. And this is all happening, of course. There were a lot of high-powered meetings. They weren't watching the footy at Magic Round, were they? They weren't listening to Sweet Caroline. There was Pat Conroy, who's the minister, I believe, for the Pacific Affairs.
Well, I just believe he's the minister for the Pacific.
Right.
That's a very specific portfolio.
Yes,
it
yes.
It begs the question, who's the minister for the Indian Ocean?
Right, yes, and the South Pacific or South China Sea, is he the minister for that as well?
Maybe Tasman, is that a state? That's a state portfolio, the Tasman?
And he met up with the Papua New Guinea Prime Minister, James, is it Marape or Marape?
I think Marape is...
Marape sounds right, yeah.
But
and
there you go.
Swapped jerseys, and then Marape, we'll call him,
mm-hmm.
selling the dream. The dream was, he said, this will unite Papua New Guinea. Did I say Papua New Guinea? Papua New Guinea. This will unite. Now, look, we know that they're a feisty bunch, Chris. Pat?
Oh, Dave. What's their relationship with rugby league?
Can anybody help us here?
Well, it's often quoted.
Yeah.
Did you know that? And, Pat, were you aware that rugby league is the national sport of Papua New Guinea?
Is there an official national sport? Like, do we have a national sport? Like, what's the national sport of like, can we go through every country and
say
their national
You'd say cricket,
sport?
Wouldn't you, Pat?
Would you?
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
This fine
but
man
do we, is the only one that unites. Is it like our official one? Like, if
there was an Olympic
we wouldn't
for
have riots if Stark ran down the street. Like, I don't understand what this, like, I can't, what is there an official sport?
The sad legacy of this show is we raise these issues. We're pioneers who get scalped. Yeah. We've been talking about that there is no national sports.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no legislation that declares national sports. Yeah. Last year it became a sports bets campaign. Yeah. And this is what happens is that years after we raise these matters, it ends up as a sports bet ad.
Right, right. Now, of course, the selling of this dream of uniting Papua New Guinea with rugby league and against China, et cetera, the big picture stuff. I think Xavier Coates and Justin Olim got roped in because they both play for Papua New Guinea, correct?
Correct.
Okay. It's the Hunters, is that the name?
Yes.
At this point?
The Queensland Cup team is the PNG Hunters, I believe. Yeah. Cormoz is the national team. And Solomon Island's gone.
Yeah, gone.
So Papua New Guinea became the obvious focus. And because it is in their statute books that it's their national sport, Albanese...
What's he offering?
Well, he rang up Volandis and said, well, I know you're looking to franchise because, let's face it, if rugby league doesn't expand, it dies.
Yes, yes.
And you can only get that far by taking North Sydney to Perth. So they've come up with the idea of the Pacifica or the PNG.
Yeah.
Let's say Hunters, that's Hunters. Certainly in the discussion.
Yes.
So Albanese has doubled down and more than doubled down on his $20 million on Leichhardt to get the next stake in the ground.
Yeah.
$600 million over 10 years.
I'm just reading here, only $66 million was given by China for the telecommunications giant Huawei to construct 161 mobile phone towers. Nothing.
Chicken feed.
Chicken feed.
Chicken feed. Good for Leichhardt Oval.
Totally. Now, where's Elon Musk in this? Is he getting involved with this with his Starlink? Surely.
He's lurking.
Right, lurking. Right.
But so the theory is, let's put an NRL franchise in Port Moresby.
Right.
Right, and we build another block in the Pacific Rim against a bulwark, as they say, against the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah.
How do we think it would go?
Well, are there concerns right now, Pat, about safety in Papua New Guinea? Wasn't that a discussion recently? I know that a couple of the islands are up in arms at the moment. I think Numia is burning.
Yeah, I think they did also have no confidence against the Prime Minister there. President? Prime Minister?
Prime Minister in Papua New Guinea.
Prime Minister. I think they did he's had a no confidence vote. I've seen Star Wars. That's no good.
Okay.
The PNG political situation, of which I'm not an expert, and he's no longer with us, but Michael Somare was the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea about 17 times, I think. It's volatile.
Okay.
There's some gang-related violence.
Right.
Certain business people who are generally minerals people say it's overstated, it's actually a lot more relaxed, come up and enjoy yourself in Papua New Guinea. But the original idea of taking rugby league to Papua New Guinea as part of the NRL was to house the players in Cairns and fly them up for the games.
And that didn't wash.
Well, no, it didn't wash.
No.
I mean, if you're...
Why would you accept that?
Yeah, it's like...
They're just pretending.
Imagine if you were a proud rugby league entity or nation and you'd established an incredible legacy at a place like Cogra Oval and then you suddenly agree to play games down in Wollongong. That doesn't make sense.
Or, you know, if you're a proud South Sydney supporter and suddenly you move into Matraville and there's nothing in Redford anymore. What's the point?
A couple of the Astonisher journos have dubbed Wayne coming back as the Redfern Resurrection.
It's better than the Eels one, which was it saying Operation Woo West, Woo Wayne West.
WWW.
Easy to throw West around these days, isn't it?
You know? Everyone wants the West.
So, but, Chris, what you're saying is, and you and I are both old enough, Pat barely, but probably, yes, I think he remembers what the Wild West at King's Cross was back in the day. Mm-hmm. We discussed this ad nauseum, didn't we, about how we could have a compound, a walled compound with, I think, armed, you know, soldiers, etc., protecting either rugby league or the city from each other in King's Cross, where they could muck up and have fun.
This predates you and me, Pat, on Fire Up, but it was in the wake of people taking shots at disgraced rugby league player, albeit appealing right now, Jarryd Hayne.
Jarryd Hayne, that's right.
And you guys came up with the idea of, like, you saw the lockouts coming.
Yes, that's right.
You saw that the real estate sector would try and reclaim Potts Point.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you wanted to have a preemptive strike and turn the King's Cross precinct into rugby league world, correct?
See, rugby league lost that battle.
Right.
I think they got halfway there because you had the players in there doing as they please.
What they wanted.
You just had the general public in there as well.
Yeah.
Which was the mistake.
Under threat.
So the rugby league side was fine.
They did okay. Yeah.
So I think we briefly entertained the idea that the redeveloped Callan Park could be used for that precinct, which.
Wall it off.
And get this, adjacent to Leichhardt Oval.
Yeah, submarines can come and go.
That's right.
Right. bring the Navy in when needed.
So, given that it wouldn't wash to play out of Cairns, that you had to actually locate the players in Port Moresby, what have they come up with?
Well, exactly. You've seen the film with Kurt Russell, Escape from New York.
Yes.
The whole of Manhattan becomes a jail, basically. So you put all the most nefarious characters in there, tie it off, and Kurt apparently escapes, you know, because he doesn't want to be there anymore, you know. It's a dangerous place. It's worse than Blade Runner, Chris. I can tell you that for nothing. And so the idea is to build this walled compound, but a nice one, much like what are those places called? Like a villa in Bali.
Yep.
We've got swimming pools, you've got food. I think Matt Moran wants to do the cooking. He loves his rugby league.
A gated resort.
Yes, exactly.
In other words. What would we call it? Pat, would you have a name for it?
Well, they had... Well, in lockdown, they were talking about Rugby League Island, but I think it would be too hard to differentiate between the larger island of Papua New Guinea
right.
and the smaller island of Rugby League.
I sort of feel NRL World has a ring to
it. You like that, do you?
Yeah, because I think over time, if it really succeeds and NRL becomes the dominant narrative in Papua New Guinea, they could change the acronym from Papua New Guinea to simply NRL on all the global maps.
And NRL standing for?
Papua New Guinea.
National Rugby League.
And I'm very taken, I once read a series of essays by the investigative journalist Kyle Hyacin, who I think also wrote the script for Showgirls, if I'm correct.
Is that right?
And he wrote these essays about the Disney Corporation.
Yes, yes.
And he called it Team Rodent.
Right.
And one of those essays talked about...
Well, because of Mickey Mouse.
Because the Disney Corporation is as corrupt they all get on. And he looked at Disney World, which is Reclaimed Swamp, Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, we're talking Cronulla, right?
Exactly. This is the Cronulla story.
Okay,
right?
okay.
The Republic of Walt examines the Reedy Creek Improvement District. Which has been granted unprecedented levels of autonomy, tick. Control over its own utilities, tick. Yeah. Mac Moran, etc. Tax levies. They're talking about free from Australian taxes, anyone who plays there, plus danger money, municipal codes, police and fire departments. Yep. Every time these private Disney forces act illegally, Disney is quick to disclaim any assumption of police authority in order that their practices remain secret.
So it's a little bit like the Vatican. Sealed off, own police, can do what they want. A law unto themselves.
Hutt River Province, if you like.
Right. Because, you know, obviously based upon those places like Dreamworld, which became Wally World, I think. Anything south of Brisbane, north of Gold Coast, those sort of theme parks.
Movie World, Wet n Wild.
World unto themselves. You know, people die on rides. No one gets charged with anything. That sort of thing.
So for rugby league players who are cautious about the security risk in Papua New Guinea, tax-free, danger money, theme park.
Yeah.
Away, a la the Warriors were during the lockdown period, away from family responsibilities in a resort-style complex. Right. They'll be queuing up to play for the Hunters or whatever.
Because the big
thing,
of course, is peace throughout the region via rugby league, right? So like United Nations, you'd have soldiers with blue hats or that sort of thing, just keeping the people inside. But that's okay for the Hunters living there, while they get their wives, their girlfriends, their kids as well.
Well, I think
all three. All three. You can have your wife, girlfriend, and kids.
What sort of rules are they run by? I don't know.
I think that the local Papua New Guinea players would insist on their wives and families and girlfriends having no access.
Sounds great, but imagine Melbourne are winning, right? The competition, right? They're going up there, and the Hunters are at the bottom of the ladder, and they're pissed off and they're angry, right? Imagine that. And the crowds are getting, you know, a little bit unruly. Can I say that? I know what that feels like when you're near the bottom of the ladder, right, fellas? Right?
Yeah.
And then in comes Melbourne, right? Up they go. And who are Melbourne anyway? They're not really from Melbourne. You know, we know that. They're just a hotspot.
They're a construct.
They're a fabricated
idea.
So they roll in. Do they actually stay in the combat, or do they have to stay somewhere else, like a military, you know, precinct?
No, there's a visitors section.
With its own army?
But
his own chef?
But I would imagine, because American sports franchises are famous for doing this, that the visiting team is put in sort of hut-style accommodation.
Cold water.
Yeah, pest infested. No hot water.
Yeah.
Their own cooking facilities. Yeah.
Just put them in their place.
They just arrive with some boiling water and a box of 2-minute noodles and say, see you on the pitch tomorrow.
I'm not profiling here, Chris.
No.
Can I say this? Is it still true that there are actual people who practice cannibalism up in the hills?
Well, they could drop them down, drop the opposition on the other side of Kokoda. Yeah. Give them their boots and their strapping there, and they've got to walk over the hills
to get to the game.
Plus, by the way, that question you asked about the hills is the hills of Melbourne you're asking about. Cannibalism, correct?
What is Craig Bellamy here tonight? I ask you.
But I say the risk is of a bottom-dwelling Papua New Guinea team placing top of the tour Melbourne
Storm. Come in and destroy them.
It's no different than Belmore.
You know what's going to happen, don't you? What's going to happen. All hell will break loose.
And it will rate its head off, Steve. And it's extra content for the NRL.
I'm not sure if it's going to work as a tourist destination, but on television, at arm's length, wonderful stuff.
Yeah, terrific.
Right, and this, of course, all was talked about during the Peace, Love, Mung Bean, Rainbows, Unicorns of Magic Round. We'll talk about maybe Magic Round with the women's game in just a moment.
What did you call it, Pat? Papua New Guinea? Unity?
No, I said that. Papua New Unity? Yeah. Back in just a moment.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today. But only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land. Trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day. Courage taken from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chests. These are men, America's.
Welcome back to Fire Up. Redfern Pat's our guest today, and gosh, he's loving it. And Chris
First
Gale,
time guest.
When your neck bit, right, was travelling over to Philly, we've got a question for one of our listeners going, was Cameron Munster's groin on the same flight?
Did you see that particular incident on the weekend, Pat, with Cameron Munster?
Yeah, that one looked, that was odd. Yeah, it looked like he might have, for the first, when he sat up, it kind of looked like he might have sat on something.
When fish are thrown onto the pineapple. Hot tarmac and they flip and flop and flop.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like.
He looked like that.
Well, you know when someone goes down with an Achilles, they say they've either been hit by a sniper. He looked like he'd been hit by a bazooka.
Yes.
And by the way, throwing Bradman Best Hammy into the queue. I just wonder, we were talking last week, Pat, about the fact that Billy Knowles can't deal with all the hamstrings in the NRL at the moment. Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, the Qatari clinic, the Apatar clinic, is opening up a branch in Australia called Bellamy's Bits Are Us.
Bits Are Us, yeah.
Is this an elaborate...
And you can drive in and park.
Was this Munster's groin, the whole thing, just an elaborate campaign
to sell the business?
To promote Bellamy's Bits Are Us?
Under the counter, he's getting a fair whack, I'd say, from Bellamy for this business.
Well, the week he announced he's staying on another year.
Yes.
Well, this can I just name this section? Roadkill. Roadkill in rugby league, all right? So roadkill, Cameron Munster, number one.
out for 10 weeks.
Yes.
But they're going conservative, no surgery, back in time for the finals. I think Bellamy has said, A, this will promote my new business, and B, we'll keep him out of the Origin maelstrom.
Right.
Because basically, who's left in Origin? I mean, it's going to be very second tier, isn't it?
Well, who's gone?
Murray.
Cleary.
Cleary. Yeah. Moses.
Trbojevic.
Reynolds.
Reynolds was never in the calculations. Farsu Malawi. The
boy,
Flegler.
Boy from Brisbane.
Yeah.
Boy from Newcastle, Bradman.
Bradman Best is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have to open it up.
Isn't that great? No St. George players. Isn't that good?
Well, I don't know.
We're going to do the Bradbury sail in at the end and win the gold, okay?
There was an article today about the fact that some Cronulla players might actually get a run. Nico Hines, Cam McInnes.
Well, the Eels winger, Lomax.
Lomax, yes. True.
True. Well, that's not going to bode well for us, but...
But the article ran the thing that a couple of years back, St. George was on top of the table and then they supplied five Origin players and that was your season
in 2018, wasn't it?
Is that how long ago it was? Because I couldn't remember when you were on top of the table.
Well, just on roadkill, do you remember the last time that Wayne Bennett won a premiership? Anybody? Anybody?
No.
It's in the lifetime of Fire Up. Just.
2010. The Dragons. Now, listen, roadkill. Brad Arthur, he's the big news, of course, just come down, hasn't he, that he got a phone call. Come on in. It's late, probably midnight. He knew it was trouble, right?
Do you know who the happiest person in Sydney right now is?
Well, Wayne Bennett's not in Sydney, is he?
No.
No.
Pat, any idea?
I was pretty happy this morning.
There you go.
When the news first came out, I was a bit worried about the timeline with Wayne and Parramatta,
but
that seemed to be kiboshed pretty quickly.
So Wayne's signed on the bottom line for 3 years, but you're right, he's not in Sydney. Happiest player, the person in Sydney right now is Brad Arthur.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's his 50th birthday today.
Yeah, today. Happy birthday, Brad.
Happy birthday, Brad.
Yeah.
He's just been told he no longer has the burden of coaching the Parramatta Eels.
Nor go to work.
Which has aged him and dehydrated him because the guy really gives the water bottles a nudge during the coaching.
Yes.
And a $1.5 million payout to not coach the Parramatta
Reels.
So it's
officially Mad Monday for Brad Arthur. Fantastic.
And they talk about the Bennett curse. Do you believe in the Bennett curse, Pat?
I don't think it's on purpose.
So for those that don't know, is that Wayne leaves a stooge in place and says, he's great, just take him like Steve Price at the Dragons.
And Jack, Rich Stone, Jason Demetriou,
and then
of
the club goes down the gurgler.
About roadkill.
And then he gets called back in again.
I think we are here at the birth of, or the genesis of, the Arthur curse, because have a guess who Parramatta Reels have got for the rest of the season.
Yet another ex-St. George player, isn't it?
T-Baz, Trent Barrett.
Trent Barrett. How many of those do you reckon Pat, are floating around?
Hornby.
I know that some have come and gone already, but Nathan Brown, Hornby, Dean Young.
Riles is in the waiting.
And now we've got, T-Baz.
T-Baz.
It's probably more. Anybody?
Craig Fitzgibbon.
Hello.
He's almost the exception that proves the rule, isn't he?
Running the joint.
Matt Elliott. St. George Grand Final hero, Matt Elliott.
Flanagan play for the Dragons, didn't he? Shane Flanagan?
He was West, I think.
Didn't he play a little bit for the Dragons?
He did play for the Jack, So,
by the way, Craig Fitzgibbon and Cronulla on top of the table, Stephen. Just thought I'd...
Oh, God forbid. Yeah, okay, all right. Move them to bloody Papua New Guinea. Eh? That's what they deserve to be. So talking about roadkill, you have to say Jason Demetriou, roadkill.
We talk about the Redfern resurrection. It feels more like the Heffron Park Hail Mary to me to get Wayne Bennett in. But what do we know of JD, Pat? What welfare provisions have been put in place to make sure that he's doing okay?
He's on Triple M a day or so later.
So not good.
It was, hopefully someone stopped spying on his phone because...
Were they?
Well, you know, there'd be conversations at South involving Demetriou where there's two people in the room
broadcast
and they get into the newspaper verbatim somehow.
Directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Roadkill, Parramatta itself, roadkill, wouldn't you say?
They haven't won a comp since. I mean, we can all lament our current fortunes of our teams and how long it is since we won a comp, but at least we've all won a comp this century.
That's right.
You know, Parramatta go back to 86.
Is that right?
It's a long, 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 long time ago.
And yet they've got the gleaming new Taj Mahal. CommBank Stadium.
Yeah, but still, have either you had the pleasure or otherwise of going to Parramatta leagues lately?
No, not the leagues, no.
It's a rabbit warren, that joint.
Is it?
I mean, it was built in the 80s, I think. Yeah. And so it's not fit for purpose.
Right, right.
And when you go to the Peter Sterling room,
yeah,
right, they've got like pictures of Tom Brady up on the yeah wall.
A kids
like,
in the kitchen playing?
Yeah, yeah, the Oxford rowing team.
Oh.
I want pictures of Sterlo,
yes,
Growth,
yes,
Kenny, yes, the Zip Zip Man, that
yeah
sort of deal.
That sort of stuff, yeah.
And what about in the Parramatta history? I was reading the Herald on the Brad Arthur play-by-play this morning. And it says, one of the paragraphs by itself says, not many of the 5,000 people at Parramatta's first game in 1947 are still alive. And I was like, what's the point of telling me that? And that's poor old Brad Arthur's dad was at that game.
Is that right? The very first one?
Yeah, that's how much Brad Arthur loves Parramatta.
I think that only makes him in his 70s. There are plenty of people alive in their 70s now who would have been there then, surely.
Well, there's only 5,000
people. Sure, it narrows it down a little bit, but a fair bit.
He loves... loves Parramatta that much.
Buzz Rothfield, by the way, was lionising Parramatta for being transparent last night by revealing the fact that they've been talking to Wayne Bennett since the 1st of May, where they made the decision to sack Brad Arthur. So right, I don't know how transparent they've been.
Have we seen who they played when they decided to sack Brad Arthur?
Was it off the back of the Dolphins game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So well, against, that procession against, up in Darwin.
Against Wayne Bennett.
Wait, oh, interesting.
There you go.
And then has he used the Parramatta, this thing, as a bargaining chip?
So was the Melbourne game that was the nail, the very final nail, right? So that
no,
was,
he was already gone.
Already gone, was
it? They were using the window to chat to Wayne because Wayne hadn't committed to the Rabbits.
Right.
And but there must have been something just in Wayne to go, well, imagine if I went to Parramatta and got them their first title in 40 years.
Oh, of course there was.
And he loves Gibson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, unfinished business at the Rabbits.
Could he wear one of those fur coats? I'm just asking.
Didn't we establish that in the possession of Harvey Howard, the former UK prop that played for Western Suburbs? He actually has the jacket.
Yeah, we spent a whole year on that.
I thought it was Gary Glitter that had that. But hey, Jason Ryle, surely he's roadkill any which way. Assistant coach at Melbourne.
Well,
is there a worse possible piece of damnation than that?
Yeah, 4 years at the Dragons, because he said no to that. He said, I'd rather go under the sulphur of Bellamy and
yes,
Smith.
Yes, I know. Now, roadkill, we reckon Nick Politis comes under that category.
Well, the David Fifita backflip, the biggest backflip since Cherry Evans in 2015.
Yeah.
How did you see that backflip, Pat? Was that a surprise to you or a shock? Or?
Well, every conversation that's happened, doesn't matter how many people are, like, people's thoughts are being leaked verbatim to the newspaper, yet this Fifita thing, we just all wake up one day and it's like nobody knows what happened.
Well, this is, and it was the same with Des Hasler going to the Titans, right? Is
obviously
Albanese is wanting to get this defence war from Leichhardt through Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, into Taiwan, because Huawei is actually getting our thoughts through their 5G technology. And it's not 100% perfect, but
something's on the Gold Coast, not.
But everything is leaking, but not the Fifita thing. And the reason is, I mean, it's been there plain to see. Politis has had yet another misstep. It's been a bad time for the Roosters, guys. Obviously, they failed to try and recruit Dane Gagai. Why? Sean Johnson. Huh? Mm. David Fifita, you know, with the Angus Crichton rebirth. But it came to light that Titans CEO Steve Mitchell, every home game at Cbus Super Stadium, and I've been there, it's a stadium, I wouldn't call it a super stadium, would take to Fifita's mother and grandmother and assorted family members a $4 packet of Monte Carlo biscuits, which he'd purchased from Coles, right?
Mm.
Don't tell me that this isn't a press release that's like product placement tying up with Coles, Arnott's and the Titans, right? And he would bring them the Monte Carlos and a cup of tea. They sit three rows back from the players' entrance enjoying their son, grandson, David Fifita playing for the Titans.
Mm.
So Politis gets winds of this and he goes, okay, I've had a couple of losses, Gagai.
He's looking for the one-up, is he?
Yeah. So he's offered them those Greek biscuits.
Baklava.
Yeah, baklava.
Yeah.
And that
sticky, sweet.
And that really hazelnut, strong Greek espresso coffee.
Right.
Right.
The spoon stands up.
Right. And Mrs. Fifita and Grandma Fifita have got on the phone
kidding
and said, there is no way that we're going down to the Roosters for that.
No, no. Is this a different tradition in is it Kythera?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They just get it wrong.
He's just getting it wrong. Yeah. And the Politis magic is wearing off.
Do you think that maybe a used car salesman doing recruitment for a multi-million dollar football club mightn't be the way?
In fairness, Pat, he sold a hell of a lot of cars.
Right. Now,
yeah, that back of all I must work on.
On road
Kourouvidis, by the way,
yeah,
is not a player.
No, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's the Greek butter cookies.
Right.
So he's offering the Kourouvidis, the baklava, yeah, and the tar-like coffee.
Yeah.
Deal not done.
Well, let's hope Volandis hasn't done that at Magic Round to the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea.
And the Minister for Pacific.
Let's hope he hasn't got that one wrong, you know. Right, now talking about roadkill and the, you know, the rugby league industry sort of eating itself, the media are doing exactly that. And there's a great article, one of the greatest, I think, is Danny Wilder, you know, and putting it very straight with Paul Kent, you know, because Kent is in strife, as we know. I know, Pat, yes, there was one hotel that he had a reported that he had a seat, a permanent seat. Is that right?
Yeah, no, I don't know if I've mentioned this on air before. I DJed a couple of times this joint in Roselli worked out, and he was absolutely, like, belligerently, like, no, honestly wouldn't even know his own name.
Shock me.
Wouldn't even know his own name. And I think, and this was on, I think, closer to where he lives. At Sackville.
Not the Sackville Hotel.
Yeah, Sackville. Yeah, so he's on, I think he lives on that side of Victoria.
So if he was rolling down past the Three Weeds or whatever, that's just...
That's the other side of Victoria Road, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
So I think what he
does... No, they're both on the harbour side.
No, no. Sackville's on the harbour side and Three Weeds is the other side, Roselle side.
So I dare...
Near Toddy's and the tree.
Yeah,
Kenny's tree.
I won't argue it on here.
I dare say he sort of gets... They say he's got a table saved. I dare say he might go from like...
So he just puts his wheels on and then rolls for the next one. Until he bumps into a tree.
Until he bumps into a tree, yeah.
And you're suggesting that Kenny may not have been feeling that well when you saw him, but given you were DJing, any requests from Kenny?
We
get an insight as to what he likes?
Yeah, so he'd come up, he leaned on, and it'd be like 12:30, and you guys know what it's like you'd be keeping it pretty safe at that time of night in that type of venue, and he's asking for Folsom Prison Blues.
Oh.
Which might be
not bad. He likes a black t-shirt, yes, a la Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, the man in black. Yep.
By the way, speaking of legendary DJs, we are in the presence of one who's just been announced as part of the Testament Club Legends show at the from Ministry of Sound.
Not 7th DJ Godfather.
No, Steve Ferris, the 90s edition, 7th of September at the
White Bay
Power Station.
Yeah. I'm back in the 90s.
And anyone who wants to socialise with Stephen after his set will find him at the Sackville.
Well, does that get you into the midweek part of FBI now, or are you still
got
your
own little... Sunset, you reckon?
You've got the... Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's going to be a dilemma, no doubt about it.
I tell you what,
Deception.
He might also be requesting a Redemption song by Bob Marley now because he's going through a program and we wish him well.
But I won't be playing Johnny Cash.
No.
Now, have you got more of this? You've seen him there. He's trouble. You avoid him at 10 paces.
Yeah. Paul Kent. Yeah. And he...
No surprise.
You feel for him.
Hang on, get the violin.
Because he does make himself a target, but he also... Some of us have to work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, his job is basically like people yell at him in pubs that they watch him on TV. So
I agree. There comes a point.
So the word comes out that George Elias, his lawyer, says he's talking about cognitive impairment in court. He won't expand on it.
No.
Because we'll wait till court.
Well, he said that his quote was the twist coming out at the end.
Yeah. Right.
Did you hear that?
No, I did not.
They had one of the news were outside his house.
And you know what the twist will be? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the new coach of the Parramatta Eels.
Former.
That would be a twist.
They finally got their former halfback to coach them.
Yeah, more than one first grade game.
So Danny's going on about it. Says, we obviously know he's got a problem with alcohol. He's admitted that. You know, now there might be a cognitive impairment problem. We don't know yet. We're going to have to do the test. He's got to go into rehab, probably all that sort of palaver. The very things that, and I know that Tommy Radonikis might have done the same thing, where you attack other people for being, let's face it, snowflake.
Mm.
He said the snowflake defence is got out of hand. Everybody uses, poor old me, I've got a psychological problem, you know, my parents beat me when I was little, you know, that sort of stuff, you know. So I think there's a little bit of payback coming in. There's a bit of vitriol, a little bit of, what is the right word for that?
Well, you seem to be betraying a little sense of schadenfreude, Stephen.
Schadenfreude.
And it doesn't become you.
It doesn't become
you. Can I suggest that out of Paul's journey, if I can describe it that way, if he can see what it's like from the other side, albeit let's call it the snowflake
side. Is there anything wrong with that?
No. Because if that develops an empathy and out of this comes an advance in the human condition, Papua New Guinea style, It'll all
one more time, please. Chris.
Papua New Guinea state. Unity. It's hard to say. We will be a better society,
no doubt.
And yet again, for all those naysayers, because let's face it, hasn't been rugby league's finest week. It's been pretty quiet on the atrocity thing. But I think if we go domestic violence allegations against Taylan May, Gregor Haas, with enough methamphetamine to get you, hung. We've had Brandon Wakeham, former Bulldogs and Tigers player, been arrested as a passenger in a car involved with drug trafficking.
Can you do that?
Trafficking. An unnamed Queensland State of Origin player being investigated for sexual assault.
That's right.
And a player being accused of sending inappropriate texts to an NRL teammate's sister.
Right.
The game needs Papua New Guinea, and it needs Paul Kent to see the other side to take us forward and show that rugby league is indeed a force for good.
Is it possible that the Papua New Guinea could be called the snowflakes?
and all power to them, if that makes us better people and better human beings.
Yeah. His view of the world is full of, to use his word, snowflakes, people who can't handle adversity or criticism. It's a horrible accusation and a word he used when trying to justify bullying his former Raider colleague, Anthony Maroon, former guest here at
Love
Fire
Maroon.
Up.
Yeah. Great man.
Won't talk about it, of course.
No.
Will not lower
Scott.
Him. Yeah. He talked about the end of the so-called no dickheads policy at the Swans. Kent wrote, sadly, the policy is now dead under the Mental Health Act. So his words are going to come back to bite him, aren't they?
Let's hope we all learn from them.
Right. And then, of course, Danny decided to go Brayton Astor. Now, Brayton Astor, more roadkill stuff, is it? I don't know. He was confronted at Chin Chin, very fine establishment in Surrey Hills, by Latrell Mitchell. Words were spoken. There was no throwing against a tree.
Do you think you see Kent's form in that video? I think not very good, is it?
Not very good.
I don't think he takes his watch off, throws up his hand, and it's like, oh, dear, he might be in business. And then... Do you think Latrell's thinking, oh, these 360 fellas, they can't fight?
Yeah, right.
I can take a Nasta, no problem.
So who's on the table now?
In Chin Chin.
360.
No, you mean on the 360 table going forward?
Who's left? Who's left? So Candy got thrown against a tree, right?
Yeah.
Break is conflicted out.
Yeah.
Who's left?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 360 hosted by Gordon
James
Tallis.
Graham there?
Jimmy Graham, of course.
Better ice.
We know he can bite.
He can bite, he can talk, he can bark.
That's
right. We also lost Crawley off 360.
Where has Paul Crawley gone? Does anyone know?
We need to put a wellness check out.
Vaporised. He's not in the Telegraph.
He's not riding. He's not on Big Sports Breakfast.
We knew there was a hole in the soul of rugby league, didn't we?
Yeah.
They talk about the Bermuda Triangle being Shark Park.
Right.
I think it could well be the 360 desk. By the way, Latrell and Braith, and of course, Latrell's also bailed up a Big Dell, Gordon, Wendell Saylor somewhere, God knows where, to say, can you just be a bit more positive about the South Sydney Rabbitohs? Now, they've taken the cue from Kendi. First of all, Chin Chin and Commonwealth Avenue, not so many trees, which is positive.
But
they haven't escalated. They've just had... It wasn't even a heated exchange from what I'm hearing. It was just an exchange of views.
Okay.
But the central thesis that Latrell says that the rugby league media should be more positive, South, you're running 17th, Pat. How positive can they be?
New jerseys look smart. The jerseys look...
Well, again, what about the naval jerseys?
They've done good marketing.
I like that one.
You like
the naval
jerseys?
I didn't mind that one. Yeah,
they look like extras from the Village People.
And it's also the Chin Chin is just downhill from the cop shop.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
The big one.
The big one, the federal.
So I don't know if that makes it, if it downhill's better, because if there's any trouble, it's going to go away from the cop shop there.
Yeah. On this sort of the media eating itself, where does it leave Triple M? Are they just sort of just sailing on, just gloriously regardless of everybody? They're quite happy there.
You listen?
Yeah, I do.
No, you know better than me.
Yeah. Oh, you don't listen. No.
I'm a very bitter man in some ways, Steve.
Oh, you certainly.
I used to be in the stable.
Yeah. You lost your job to Warner. Candice Warner's got your seat now.
Well, technically we lost it to Gus Wallen, Big Dell and Jude Bolton, but Candice Warner now.
What about Chris likes his professional wrestling? We got Wallen versus Mitchell and Gale.
Right.
And we did Wallen, Dell, Gale, Latrell.
Okay. I take those odds.
What have they got in common? Because we had a discussion about big men versus little men recently, didn't we?
Yeah.
And what it's like to suffer from big man syndrome.
And God love the ABC. They just sail underneath everybody.
Yeah, and just report atrocities and nothing good about rugby league.
Right. Because we both know the axis of hate really fuels everything.
It does.
Yeah. Now, one little thing that's just cropped up. it's a moment, it's a media moment where the certain players, I think five or six players from the South Sydney Chooks, will look like they were talking to a mirror. It looked like a camera, like a what do you call those 3D mirrors?
One-way mirror.
One-way mirror?
Yep.
That's the one.
Mirror's famously 2D.
Yes, yes. There was a number of people involved and there was a whole lot of sniffing going on. We thought it was very funny. There's a lot of stuff on Reddit about the Chooks are doing, you know, drugs again.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, you know.
Right. So what happened here?
But not really, Chris.
You've seen the footage, Pat?
Yep.
What was your conclusion?
I don't think that I think that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Do you think it was an episode of Punked?
I think it was. It's pretty like it's a pretty easy target. A May kitty. Actually, could you stop on May for a second? That Taylor Terrell May kitty.
Yeah.
He got his tattoo, so he's got his whole neck coloured in.
That's Taylor.
And he's got May outline.
Yeah.
When I first saw that, he'd taken a selfie in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and I saw it and I said to someone, like, why has he got yam tattooed on him? What does yam mean? Is that
unless he was getting into some organic
and can you just imagine 99.9% of mothers said, my daughter's never marrying that one.
Oh,
well, Ivan would know the Mays better than anyone. His daughter dated one of the Mays.
Is that right?
That's how much he endorses him.
Well,
did he get the spelling right? Round the neck.
As we said, thank heavens his name wasn't Fisher Harris. But
yes, that's right.
And it's been a tough week for the May family. And again, we don't want to make light of the Taylor May situation, but he went from what Danny Widler described as having a wholesome video blog to being arrested for domestic violence in the course of a month.
Oh,
no wonder Ivan
Chris.
Cleary looked unhappy at his press conference.
Chris,
but,
yeah.
So you had a bunch of Roosters the night before
there. Brandon Smith.
Yes. Docker Clay, I think, was there.
Yes, yes.
And the night before
White,
their
epic... Spence and Lenu.
Yes. Of course, Spence is there. The night before their epic match against the Cronulla Sullivan Sharks. Sorry to bring it up, Steve, on top of the table.
Yes, it's top of the table.
And they were sort of doing an Instagram live chat on Twitch, or I think it might have been on Twitch, or whatever. And they're giving away jerseys and interacting with fans and making them feel good. It's just that a lot of people jumped to a conclusion, right, based on the following evidence. Hotel room.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Rugby league players.
Yes, yes.
Right. Brandon Smith looking into the camera. I mean, the guy looks dishevelled at the
best. He does, He looks a bit glazed.
He does.
Yeah.
And he talks. He's got the surly, slurry way of talking anyway.
Terrell May particularly grabbing his nose, going...
But you reckon, Chris, this is a media moment where they're playing the media?
I think it's a piece of performance art, Stephen.
Right. You may remember Marcel Duchamp. Famously the urinal, and he called it art. It was really
Didn't he do the soundtrack to Gallipoli? Oh, no, that was Jean-Michel Jarre. That's right.
That's
sorry.
Right. He also covered a saucer and cup in fur.
Genius.
Such was his work.
Christo.
Know? Yeah, postmodernist, definitely.
Who was the fella, the 80s punk fella who used to do all kinds of crazy stuff on stage? Like he'd sort of defecate and stuff.
Oh, G.G. Allen.
G.G. Allen.
Yeah, yeah, he was a performance
artist. Are we getting towards that?
Getting closer,
And it was, it's almost like Terrell May, particularly in the wake of his family's divorce, saying, it's time for me to fight back.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to shine a light on all that pylon. Thank you very much, Scott Morrison.
That's right.
Speaking out very fondly of Donald Trump. Yeah. You know, the pylon on Donald Trump, it's just unseen.
It's uncouth. Yeah.
And so we're going to set you up by hotel room, rugby league players, grabbing our noses, sniffing sounds and Brandon Smith looking into a camera.
And play you.
And everyone will go, oh, look, they're on
look
the
what
gear.
They're doing,
they're doing charity work, Stan.
Right, right.
And it ill behooves everybody who got involved in the pylon. And thankfully, the Sydney Roosters lawyers, some faceless goon.
Put out a press release.
The club remind those on social media that we take the defamatory statements some have made very seriously. We are conducting a thorough investigation to identify the sources of several false allegations. Legal action will be pursued against those found responsible for spreading damaging and unsubstantiated claims.
Chris, no sense of irony, no sense of postmodernist art,
just
no sense of data.
This is the
don't get it.
This is the trouble with rugby league management. The players, they're risk takers.
Mm.
And we'll hear about rugby league and art in a moment.
Yeah.
They're progressives. They're advancing the story and the conversation. This is as good as Mitchell Pearce and Bella.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is wonderful work by these brave men, and it ill behooves not only the critics, the trolls on social media, but the nongs running the Sydney Roosters to threaten defamation. Let these boys fly. They don't need your protection.
Right, and I believe that this episode will be on 13 screens at next year's Biennale.
It's... It's booked in on all the festivals.
How does the Roosters other... So how do we square this off with Roosters' stance on other issues this year? Is that Robbo deconstructing racism? Is that part of like a... What is racist or the high tackle as well, the high tackle send-off.
Yeah, Michael Jennings being able to rewrite his story. Yeah.
Even the signing of a player.
It's something to do with his French background.
That's right.
I'm sure. He just sees things differently.
He's Deschampian.
We got anything from Dennis Carnahan, our wonderful songwriter?
I think he's reflecting on one of the pieces of roadkill, i.e. Nick Pilatus, as a result of the David Fifita backfield.
Let's have a listen, shall we?
Brian Kelly, try or no try?
Try, yeah. Every day of the week, yeah.
Frustrated then?
Oh, that's crazy. He never came away from the ball. And if it did, then it's a penalty one-on-one strip, isn't it? They don't know. They don't know.
A couple of rough ones. Some of you, Des, you're down in Canberra too. It seems to go against you.
Yeah. What can you say? That's pretty clear to see. It's pretty painted pretty obviously.
Do you try to seek clarity on that Brian Kelly call, or is there no point?
Oh, it'd be the same clarity. Yeah, we got it wrong. Oh, we're sorry. Let's move on. Oh, sorry. They're only human, which they are. We all make mistakes. Yeah.
You used to be frustrated. You must get sick and tired of ringing Graham every week.
I've already rang him, yeah.
What did he say?
No comment.
Chris, Pat, if I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd say there's a bit of sniffling going on in that interview. Wouldn't you?
Well, his emotions were heightened, that's for sure.
Mad as a cut snake, can I say that?
I think there's Fotiaka sitting there representing the players guffawing.
Yeah, right.
By the way, you can just imagine hard-running Graham Annesley sitting there watching the game up in his corporate suite at Suncor,
yeah.
And he sees the phone go off Des Hasler and he just doesn't answer it.
Of course not, no.
Right. But in the course of that, because Pat, you're the expert on the rules here. Mm-hmm. Was that a try?
No, it wasn't. No.
And then
it was close. It was unfortunate for sure. But
and if it's not a one-on-one, if it's not a try, is a one-on-one strip a penalty?
Not anywhere on the field.
That's right.
And if it was a two-on-one strip, That's legal in grounding the ball.
Right, so wrong. He then goes, they don't know.
Yes.
And then the next thing is, it's obvious that it's a conspiracy theory. So they both don't know and they're doing this deliberately. Mm. But there's always something you can take away from a Des Hasler statement, and that is we're all human beings.
True, but having been so incorrected by such an expert, is that Duchampian? I mean,
yeah.
Is it postmodern? What is it? What's going on there? What's he really saying here, Chris?
Well, I call it mixed messages.
Mixed, just befuddling.
He's muddying the waters.
Yeah.
So
Wayne used to do that big time.
Yeah, very good at
it. Maybe this is how is poor David Fifita supposed to follow along this
how
time?
How is he supposed to
and
follow?
Then if this is a kind of schizophrenic... The schizophrenic sort of stuff that he's thrown out.
Titan CEO Steve Mitchell, on the basis of that press conference, made a note, 2 packets of Monte Carlos going forward.
Right. Don't call anybody a snowflake, please. So, any other coaches up to no good?
Well, Dial In is our coaches segment where we get the wisdom from the press conferences. We've
pick up
for decency's sake, we've opted not to play the Ivan Cleary press conference because he's just so angry.
Right.
And so had so little to say. But I tell you who's up on their toes, 500 games plus coaching, team in the top eight where no one expected them to. Listen to the bon vivant in this particular gentleman's voice.
Okay. How did the team do that though, Rick, when you had 2 players in the bin for all that period you went down and you had to fight back?
I think a lot of you think that when I talk about our DNA, I talk about our character, I think you sometimes think that I just have to say things to make it sound pretty. But I wouldn't paint a beautiful picture if it wasn't there. That's the DNA of this club.
Have we checked that DNA recently? You know, we're talking about, you know, sort of tadpole, toad, lizard, you know, other known animals of the subspecies area. Have we checked that?
Rugby league DNA is an interesting thing. First of all, you can add to Graham's greatest thinker, Angry Ant, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, that's right.
Rugby league artist.
Artist, right.
Ricky Stewart, who went on in talking about signing because he's extended for about another 15 years, which to me means that we've extended Fire Up for 15 years
because that
Ricky's still going to be in business.
Still Raider for life. So have you got... Is it now because ticking down to...
You know factually, scientifically, DNA is just... It just is. You know, you can't change your own DNA, correct?
Right. Cameron Smith, Octopus.
Redfern Pat's DNA is different to yours.
Yeah.
Because you know that.
Yes, I do.
And so when Ricky goes, that's not us, I'm confused. Because he's talking about his DNA, or their DNA.
The wrong players came out wearing the Raiders jersey on that occasion.
Ah.
When they win, the right players are in the right jersey. Ricky, by the way, has talked about the honour and privilege of being extended as Canberra coach.
Right.
And he says, a lot of clubs could learn from us because the success of this club is down to the stability and the faith and the loyalty they've shown in Mui. Canberra hasn't won a comp since 1994. But anyway, rugby league DNA is now being offered at Bond University as a subject. Because not only has Ricky talked about it, and you've already raised the conundrum about when they lose, is their DNA different when that's not possible?
Is it mutable? Does it change?
I've never talked about Titan CEO Steve Mitchell ever on this show. Fact.
No.
Here he is again. We need to deliver in our results, but arguably what we've seen over the last 5 rounds, that was never going to happen in the blink of an eye. Des Hasler will get results over the next couple of seasons once, get this, his DNA is embedded.
Woo.
So how does that work?
That sounds criminal.
So we've always talked about the mad professor.
Yeah.
And, you know,
embedding your DNA.
We don't want to go back to the Flanagan dank fiasco of last decade.
Is he going around with a syringe or something?
Sounds like it.
I hope that's how he's
some sort of mad, crazy doctor, you know, dropping his own DNA on everybody.
And the reason people, everyone's going,
well, over.
In the Fifita backflip, the one person we haven't heard from, of course, is David Fifita.
Yeah.
And they want to hide the fact that if you interviewed him right now, he'd go, well, it's great coming back to the Titans because he's being embedded with Dez's DNA.
I want to ask Pat this notion of expansionism that PVL is really big on and obviously the rest of the team there, I really, really gets my, what's the word term?
Is this real stick in your craw?
Sticks in my craw when a team just enters a competition. Of course, they want to make it successful quickly. So the Dolphins are doing bloody well. And they're the Titans who are just always flouted and forgotten about and they change their name. Someone leaves again. And they're just yesterday's news. And now they're talking about putting the bloody Kummels or the Hunters or the whatever they call up there into the competition. And guarantee you they'll do well pretty quickly. And then poor old bloody Titans will be like, what about us? Well,
you know what happened with so there's a team in, a professional team in Papua New Guinea. It's the Hunters.
Yes.
So they play in the Queensland Cup.
Right.
They haven't signed a single player in 10 years. Ooh. They haven't signed not one player. And then they have...
But you can do it over 600 million, though.
They've had... Yeah, I'll go there. but they get players every two or three years a player will get good and then they get signed by the other Queensland Cup team. So I don't like
you can't
they'll go well, they'll have money and go well, but then once they're done, yeah, they'll just get like, they'll develop players, they'll just be a development club for the rest of the league.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. We're going to be a development club at the Tigers. By the way, you say the Titans are floundering like Cameron Munster on the surface of Suncorp Stadium last Sunday. And it gets even more complicated. Eels prop Junior Barlow, our DNA's still there. If we had a loss because we weren't trying, then it would probably be more frustrating.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're right there, right to the end.
Who were the two founders of the British scientists? Was it Frick? It wasn't freaking Frank, but who discovered the DNA and the RNA of human beings? Surely there's someone who's a look into this. You can't just go randomly talk about DNA like you know what you're talking about.
A, you gave that quote before they got touched up by the storm, but he's suggesting, as is indeed Ricky Stewart, that your DNA only is there a la resilience when you win. That can't be right, can it? Right.
They got mutations. It's
physically not possible. So can your DNA mutate during a game?
Yes, I don't think so, Chris.
It's very disturbing.
Now, the fractured fairy tale that we call Magic Round, music-wise, there was obviously, I remember doing the first round and there was many references to, well, Olivia Newton-John, you know.
Yes. Did you play Pilot?
ELO, Pilot, you know, well, all the classics, you know.
We were sitting back in Sydney, we didn't get invited up, and we were lamenting that, like, oh, we're sick of these five songs, like these five Magic songs, surely we can hear something else.
Surely you could, yeah.
Little did we know we had it back then when you had five different songs.
Five different ones, exactly. Yeah.
What about Heart? Magic Man, did you play that?
Yes, yes. Anything with magic in it.
I loved Heart.
But what do I get? The other night I tuned into one of the games.
Yes.
And look, everyone's drinking the Kool-Aid up there. They look like they're having a great time because they've been there for, what, 4 days?
Mm.
Drinking non-stop, not sleeping.
Starting with the women's state of origin.
Eating crappy food. Yeah, starting with the women. Sounds like fun to me, you know, and most of them are talking drivel. So I'm assuming that whoever's putting the music on is doing the same thing. Not once. I heard it twice. I mean, you might have heard it more.
Look at this. Got the crowd pumped up. Man, intercept. Cherry Evans. That'll quieten them down as he.
Now, I remember, you're probably too young for this, but when Hot August Night came out, I despised that album.
Country Granola Sweet.
Oh, no, thank you very much. All the parties play. They're still playing it. Still playing it. Is that it? Is that all we got?
I did do, though, for some time, I wanted to do a version of I Am, I Said as I Was There. But. This, again, Dan Ganane's on board with us guys now about the banning of Sweet Caroline, yes, right? It's again, we sort of, the pioneers getting scalped, our stuff gets into the mainstream media.
Yes, yes.
But the Jim Beam ad,
that is
a low point in Australian advertising history.
That's a great ad for like, because so if anyone hasn't seen it, you're in a just a normal looking pub, sports bar.
Yeah.
Sackville,
Kenny. Yeah. No, there's no trees in sight. It's like the bar from Talking Heads. Heaven is a bar where there's no trees in sight.
Good for Kenny then.
Yeah. Is he singing that?
They're not singing Heaven, but they're singing Sweet Caroline. This bar.
It looks like an American Southern bar, right?
Stephen, it's meant to be a diverse Australian population in a local establishment.
Have you ever known an African American singing Sweet Caroline? Anybody? I don't think so. Gleefully singing the damn song.
And it's not that they were... I mean, because also the DJ dropped... We were talking about you're the voice off camera, Pat, but never got to the chorus. Like, you've got to get to the chorus if you're going to dare play that again. But it's the gusto with which it's being sung at games.
All I can say to you two is it's Queensland.
When they brought out yet another Sex Pistols compilation, it was titled Flogging a Dead Horse.
Yeah, yeah.
Get rid of it now.
That's what it was called. Yeah, that's wrong. Now,
the Jim Beam ad, is that not a great ad for not drinking? Like, it's supposed to be like this, like idyllic, like look at these popular vibes. Yeah. Like, I'll be there, and you know, shirt on. Like, I'll stay in tonight.
The Australian Hotels Association issued a press release today saying we're very concerned about a drop in patronage recently, and we don't know why.
Yeah.
You've just exposed why.
Whereas the women's State of Origin number one, the one of three. Big numbers, right? I can only assume that the Matildas have dropped their numbers.
Look, the Matildas are itinerant. They turn up two or three times. We're meant to be excited that they're coming out to play the Asia Cup in 2037 or something like that.
Yep.
The NRLW players are here week in, week out. They're getting increasing exposure.
They're not in Spain or they're not in Italy. Or,
no, they're not playing their trade for Manchester City. Who? No. Chelsea? What?
Yes.
They're playing here for teams and brands we understand.
Yes.
And not South Sydney, I hasten to add.
They're throwing up in our cabs. They're yelling at our police officers.
Correct.
They're
not, exactly right.
Is it possible Sam Kerr might convert to rugby league?
I think she'd be terrific.
It'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. What position?
I see her as a 5'8". I see her as a 5'8".
Nippy, absolutely. Nippy, yeah.
Absolutely.
You've seen her do her tumbles and things.
Great awareness, spatial awareness, putting people through gaps. And so they are our local heroes, can I say that? And the first of the first ever three-game series was played up at Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah.
What a belter of a game, I thought.
It was good.
Jamie Chapman. Is it, Gus is a big proponent of women's football. How do you feel when he describes her as gazelle? Is that all right? I guess they call Tupou a giraffe. It's all right, isn't it?
Showing his age, though.
The deconstruction of the gender in football, Stephen, you like this. But so they had the Cowboys are an NRLW side.
Yeah.
And they said, well, hold on, we need to be the Cowgirls. So, it's a bit
the Roosters.
The Roosters?
Roosters, yeah.
Broncos?
Yeah.
The Raiders, they wanted to change the logo.
Right.
They wanted to keep it all the same. And
it's a bit of work to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, start with one, then because the A-League's in a problem because you got... They went A-League, then they thought, we go W-League, but then the A in A-League isn't men's, and then they had A-League men's, and then now the whole thing's called...
Well, can you just change your DNA?
Well, I want to applaud the Sydney Roosters, and I never do, but they've incorporated the word Gadigal in their logo for Indigenous round for this upcoming weekend. Good on them. I am struck by what you're saying, is that we've got work to do in the NRL. How do we develop gender-indifferent mascots?
Yeah, and but are you? If I run out and I'm running out at Moore Park, I'm wearing the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Am I a literal rooster? Is it supposed to be that I am a rooster, or is it that I'm playing under the banner of a rooster? So, if I run out for Australia, I'm not a wallaby. That's I'm playing as a wallaby. Like, I don't know, what is a mascot like?
This is a bit like that Roosters video we've just been discussing. Yeah. By the way, here's an idea for free. When I was at Disney World, Reclaim Swamp, we went to the character breakfast, which you want to see the decline of the United States as a superpower. Go to the character breakfast at Disney World, right? There's just a defeated American man with about 17 kids in a goofy T-shirt, in a 1,000-degree heat going, why am I here? Well, we were there to, be served by, people in Goofy and Mickey Mouse outfits, and there's a picture of me with Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, and at the moment the photograph's been taken, and Eeyore would be some college student and a bit of casual and say, actually goosing me.
What, Hoppawattie style?
Yeah, exactly Hoppawattie style at the time of the photo.
Wow, did you jump?
It's a good picture. This is an idea you could put into NRL world.
Yeah.
Absolutely get all the mascots over there to be the staff.
You're right.
That'd be absolutely terrific.
Now, I'm just going to do some notes here. Was it called the Forbidden City?
That's one.
One name, yeah. I've also got the Rugby League World Compound of Fun.
Alcatraz.
Yes. Or like Old Sydney Town, Old King's Cross, reboot it like Old King's Cross with Pink Pussycat, beef and bourbon, muck around, I'm sure the Papua New Guinea would be up for all sorts of ideas.
I'm telling you, if I am a rugby league player who's going to play for Papua New Guinea tax-free with danger money, and I walk in and I arrive and the compound's called Logan's Run.
Yes.
I'd be a little bit cautious.
Assuming there's a direct line to La Montage, the sub facilities, and Papua New Guinea.
Tunnel.
You could just drop in the. Up you go.
Sub-Pacific tunnel.
Nuclear powered. Where you go.
Like a big chute, like they used to put the messages in skyscrapers.
Right. Hey, Pat, any highlights of the weekend? Just football talk.
In the. What my highlight was? Is that in the NRLW game, there was a break, they got their boots tied up, so they'd break, go back, play the ball again.
Yeah.
The dummy half, Lauren Brown, was juggling the ball on her foot, waited for the other teammate to come back to play the ball, and she just kicked it up.
Did you see that?
That was incredible.
Very good.
That was amazing. And the Penrith kitty, Chundarin.
What?
Penrith kitty.
Yeah.
Yes,
I heard about
this. Yeah, he just, it was.
Oh, Jack Cole.
Jack Cole, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, bad week for Penrith, a lot of trouble.
So they lost a game.
Missing Cleary, obviously made late withdrawal.
Yeah.
And it possibly exposes the reason they gave publicly why he pulled out of a game a couple of weeks ago. And look, it was a no-name. 10 regular Warriors first graders not available.
Right.
Tiari Martin plays the half of his life.
So what happened?
They got beat. And Jack Cole just threw up at the end of it. And Dylan Edwards, who cannot put a foot wrong, Missed a goal 38 metres out in front.
Wow.
They got a kitty at the Warriors. Stephen, you like this. Geronimo Doyle.
Geronimo Doyle. Have we got that book yet of rugby league names?
It's just ridiculous to say he was parachuted into the first grade team.
Geronimo Doyle.
Can I make one thing? We've got Origins coming up. The team's being selected at the end of this round, Indigenous round. Is that right?
I believe. Yeah, that is. Yeah, it's usually Indigenous round. That's where South lost.
I've been musing when someone plays well, they go, he or she has come into Origin calculations. In what world?
Who does that?
What mathematics is involved in selecting a rugby league team?
So what do they get out? Set square?
An algorithm?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there is. The amount of players that they're naming that people are talking about playing, I don't think they can count to 17. So it's not a high level.
Pat, didn't you used to do sort of data management of some sort?
I do that. I'm doing that now.
You do that?
You do that, yep.
With the rugby league?
The rugby league, I'm in the bunker.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He must have set squares.
Yeah, what tools do you have at your disposal?
For calculation.
Not
Excel?
I just computed, but not much intelligence.
Okay. So are you under threat from... Well, I see Scarlett Johansson is suing or threatening to sue ChatGPT.
Yeah, for the use of her voice.
Illegally. Yeah. And it's probably not her, it's an imitation.
Damn it.
Done by artificial intelligence. Are you worried?
I had a conversation from Maxwell's office saying that he was on the phone, so I don't know if I can say it, but he said AI's no chance of AI doing the stats. We need people to do it. I was like, okay, well, that's good.
What about forward passes? Can't AI determine that? Surely. Can't we got to that point yet?
I think they've
NVIDIA,
been,
what are you doing? You
they've know? Been talking. I've heard people talking about it for since COVID of putting chips in. You don't need that.
I tell you what, though. Yeah. I mean, no one's worked out who says ruck infringement.
And isn't that a terrible voice? That's not Scarlett Johansson.
But wouldn't it be great if AI does come to the party and every time it's a forward pass, it's Scarlett Johansson going forward pass?
Yeah, well, she might not sue then.
That's bums on seats. Okay. That's what we want.
And that is Fire Up for another week. Thank you very much, Pat.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay, bye.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!